you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And if you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, we say hello the day after the fantasy football marathon field. Matthew and Stefania back with you and well rested, maybe.
But here's the thing. The fantasy football marathon is the only marathon I have a chance of completing.
It's a really good point.
And
even that's up for debate, to be honest.
I huffed and puffed past the finish line, but I got there.
What's the longest you think you could actually run? Like if you trained.
Oh, if I trained?
Under.
5K? Under.
Mercy, Kyle, this was that on air or was that just
that
on
was
our
on
ears?
Air. Okay. So good. Okay. So good.
Thirsty Kyle from the top rope. Thirsty Kyle good. From the top rope.
Oh, I love it.
It's a punchy grip.
I mean, I would love to come back with that, but like, you know, the man tells the truth.
That's yeah. a good like, line.
Thirsty Kyle, I want you to do some research on my my weight and cholesterol and figure it out. Like, Thirsty Kyle, like I've done the calculations, you could run 23 feet.
5K.
I think definitely a couple miles. I think 5K.
Like 5K, I mean, like it's like 3.2 miles. You could do that.
My concern would be, honestly, assuming I trained and built up to it. Honestly, my concern would just be like my knees. You know what I mean?
Old knees.
I have old knees.
Yeah.
I definitely think I could do a 10K, a 5K, and I could potentially do a 10K. Probably not.
I think with training, you could do a 10K. I really do.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that because I'm encouraging you to try one.
I appreciate
that. We could raise a lot of money for charity if you did that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Stefania, any takeaways from you from the marathon over the past 26
hours? I'm still stuck on his knees that are made of Snickers with no ACLs. So how are you going to get those to run a 10K?
You can't tear an ACL if you don't have an ACL.
That's right. I mean, like, there you go.
No,
like a fox over here.
I enjoyed the marathon. I thought we were good this year.
Yeah,
that's my assessment. Is that bad? Yeah, listen, am I wrong?
No. I'll
I felt like
quickly.
Everybody was like, you know what it was? You know what it was? What's we that? Were back here together, and I think that energy made a huge difference this year. It was like really felt like we were back to doing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, it was a different marathon than, from a couple of years ago where, we're still under some COVID precautions, obviously. We're not all the way back. We didn't have as much interaction. But I thought what was great was it was really fun for us to take over Max Kellerman's show again. Apologies again to Max Kellerman. But, like, taking over the radio, like, we expanded it. So the draft is available online to watch. If you go to @ESPN Fantasy, you can watch the entire fantasy draft, which is available on digital. Shout out to our friends Golic Jr. and Jason Fitz.
Yep.
Did a great job of hosting that. So if you want to watch the draft and you missed that, check that out as well. And so just the marathon wasn't pure wall-to-wall on TV. I mean, you saw some of the stats and the graphics and everything like that. It wasn't pure wall-to-wall on TV like it has been in previous years. But we were on more platforms and could reach more people. We did the two-hour radio show, a lot more digital content as well. So exciting, and hopefully we're through the COVID back. We're through everything with COVID, and next year can be full go, full bore. Have everyone in studio in a big party.
There are previous iterations of the marathon where you were up for 30 straight hours or some ridiculous amount of time. I think we followed the work smarter, not harder mantra a little bit in recent years.
I miss that. I got to be honest with you. Like,
you're
it is
sick.
It like
you miss
I am.
That. What do you mean?
I do. Like, listen, it screws up my body for like a week, but it is the
screws
adrenaline.
It up. What is it normally then? Sorry.
You're looking at it.
That's kind of a tough start to the show for you today. Huh?
It has been. By the way, my boss was just like, hey, do you want Mike to do it? You don't have to come in after the marathon. I'm like, no, I'll come in.
I'll do it.
No, I want to do it. I'll do the show. I just the adrenaline rush. I just love it. Like going, I really loved those first couple of years where I was literally doing 28 straight hours of television, just the challenge of that and being able to try to be on for that long. And like once you start getting to like, you know, hour 20 and 21 and you start getting punchy and you're like, I'm in front of a live microphone. I got to be, I don't know. I enjoyed that challenge of walking that high wire act.
Yeah, as hour 27. Aaron Mahomes is my favorite quarterback this year. But it's like, who the heck is this guy? Get him off my TV right now.
But much fun, really exciting. And I think most importantly, we got a lot of people to sign up and to play fantasy football for free on ESPN and download the ESPN Fantasy app, which is the goal of the marathon.
Over 1.5 million people signed up and drafted a team. That's awesome news. And you say this often, it's a rule that I have taken from you and felt like I need to champion it myself, is that the most important thing we can do every single year in fantasy football is bring somebody else aboard and enter the game for the first time.
For the record, Field, I did that this year by bringing A.J. Dillon, Green Bay Packers running back, into fantasy, as you guys
you
have seen
to
on
count
Twitter.
Him.
Well, no one else claimed him, so I did. I called him. I get A.J. Dillon. I get A.J. Dillon. I get A.J. Dillon. You guys find someone else.
I don't know. He did put out a tweet and said I was his favorite.
He did, but I was mentioned in the first tweet that he had. That's all I'm saying. Green Bay Packers running back, A.J. Dillon.
Okay.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. You know what? I'm going to allow it, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why for two reasons.
Okay.
We'll move on. I'm going to allow it. Number one is because if we don't give you A.J. Dillon, that means you would have to, A, find a friend, and then, B, invite that person to play in a fantasy league with you. So
good
that's,
luck.
It's a two-step process for you that I don't know has a high probability of success.
I can barely turn your microphone on before the show starts. You know what I mean?
That's actually correct. That is a true story. And secondly, I like the fact that you are sitting there in a Detroit Lions sweatshirt.
Yeah.
One pride, baby.
That's right.
And that one pride is... let me suck up to a Green Bay Packer.
Wow.
Who will run all over
you
to
just
me.
That's the table.
I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, you know what? Like, that's fine. If you want your one person in fantasy to be a Green Bay Packer, who, by the way, the quad father is going to run all over your Detroit Lions, you got to sit there with, like, not one pride, but like, half a pride, quarter of a pride.
Wow.
I
don't know, though. Like, don't you think that the half pride taken away from A.J. Dillon curb stomping the Lions run defense is offset by the half pride he gets because he brought A.J. Dillon into the world of fantasy football? So you still net out neutrally.
Sure.
I think
anyone
so.
That understands what we're talking about, A.J. Dillon on Twitter reached out to us, tagged all of us in a tweet and said, I'm thinking about trying fantasy football this year. We reached out, and so he's going to be on the show. We got to figure that out.
Yep.
But he's going to be on the show, and we're going to get him in the league. Can I tell you who my one person is, and then we can move on?
Okay. I'll tell you mine after.
Okay. I've been asking him for years. Literally ever since I got to the company, I've been asking for years. But I was just on a show the other day, and Stephen A. Smith is joining fantasy football this
year.
No way. He announced it on Stephen A.'s World. I was a guest on his show on ESPN Plus. 2 days ago.
Wow.
So I am very excited. As I told him on the air, I said, you understand that when I get requests of, hey, I want to be in a league with, I don't think I get more requests than Stephen A. Smith. Everyone wants to shut Stephen A. up. Everyone wants to take him on, and I said, listen, big part of fantasy football, of course, is trash talk. There might not be a greater trash talker in the history of fantasy football than Stephen A. Smith.
Man.
So he's already got one skill set down. I think he'll be great. But for me, I'm excited because in all seriousness, like Stephen A is the face of this company.
Correct.
He is a huge star, and to have the face of this company is good for fantasy football. It is good for the game. It is good for ESPN. So, and certainly good for ESPN fantasy. So, I'm super excited. We're going to get a league together for Stephen A. Smith and for Stephen A.'s World. So, super excited about that. That's my
Stephen
one person.
A's World.
That's cool.
Your one person.
That's my one person.
I took
Stephen
this
a,
whole thing
SAS.
A little. I took this a little bit more literally this year.
Wait. Stephen A's a person.
Like, no, I know. A little more like bringing him into the world because I wanted to share with you guys.
Oh, understood.
I want to be a dad.
Oh,
what?
That's
that was
right.
Something
yes.
I wanted to share with you guys.
That's amazing.
Thanks, Daniel.
Yay.
So I figured no better time than the present to tell you guys. And so when I bring someone into the world this year, it's a baby girl.
Right.
How about that?
Amazing.
So you can have your Stephen A. I'll have my unborn baby H child.
That's so amazing.
I'm currently workshopping names, by the way. And they announced so
no,
cheap.
Wait, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get, you know, Maddie's a nice name for
no,
a girl.
No, I've got it. I'm up the ante. So, yeah.
Maddie
Chapin
is a nice
is
name.
Due early 2022, looking like January of 2022. She's an absolute warrior, by the way. I'm already in awe of her, but
right.
Any mother/expectant mother, and really just women in general,
oh.
absolute She's been an absolute
rock star.
Unbelievable.
Well, no surprise. No surprise about that. I will tell you this. I told you this privately when you told me, and I will tell you this now on the air. Being the daddy's girl thing is a real thing, yeah. And being the father of a daughter is amazing. It changed my life, and God bless you and Chapin. All jokes aside, that is an awesome, amazing, beautiful thing.
Heck yeah.
I'm thrilled for the two of you, and I'm thrilled you're going to have a baby girl because it's awesome.
I won't
it's
reveal.
Awesome.
We have three names currently that we're working through for the baby. I'll reveal two of them.
Okay. Okay.
I won't reveal the last.
Lavender, Summer, Gret. What's a weird? Do you have these?
No.
Rondell, Rashad.
Kamara McCaffrey.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
We haven't quite. Chapin is sort of resisting those names so far, although with a strong year this year out of Alvin. You never know. Mahomes is maybe a middle name, feels Mahomes. A little more masculine to me. Mahomes, right? But
sure, sure.
For a girl, we got to find something. I don't know. Kamara has a nice name and sort of McCaffrey. I don't know. You could work
with
that.
How about this?
Nice.
How about this?
I got one.
You're a Boston guy.
Brady.
Brady's a good, it's a good girl's name.
It is. There's only one problem.
What's that?
As you mentioned, I'm from Boston.
Everyone's named Brady?
Everybody has either a dog or a kid named Brady from where I grew up. Everybody. It's Brady, Ortiz, and Bill. Those are the names.
All right, fine. Yeah. I guess Gronk it is.
Gronk is actually a very popular one as well. All right, so.
Baby Gronk.
But thanks, everybody.
Come here, little Gronk. Let me put some ribbons on you.
Thanks to all those who have already reached out, Instagram, et cetera. We're very excited and very grateful. And everybody has their own journey at this point. And we think about those who go through these long journeys. And we can't wait for what's ahead for us. And
it's going to be awesome.
Feels like the show was all downhill from here. That was sort of the big part, right?
Oh, yeah. I should save that for last. Stefania's going to be a wonderful aunt. Daniel's going to be a great uncle. And Matthew will be there as well. Yeah. So that'll be really. We feel very grateful to have this little family of ours here at the Fantasy Focus. So no better way to pivot from a baby announcement to Double Trouble than to just ask for the drop.
Double Trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
All right, we do head to the NFC North.
And I think they've got babies on their mind. The graphic just showed Brady at quarterback for the Vikings. I don't think that's correct.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we have breaking news. More breaking news. Tom Brady to the Vikings?
To the Vikings.
Who knew? Let's start with the Minnesota Vikings. And the Minnesota Vikings coming off of a very, very disappointing 7-9 season. However, it was not because of the offense. The offense was actually pretty, pretty good. As a matter of fact, they were had a bunch of players that finished at least as close to starters or a surefire starter at their respective positions. Kirk Cousins was quarterback 11 last year, over 19 fantasy points per game.
I don't think anyone would guess that.
Nobody would.
He had a quietly very productive fantasy year, and no one's aware of it.
And you know what's interesting, though, Matthew, is I was looking back on it, and if you had Kirk Cousins as your quarterback last year, it was fine. There were some brilliant weeks, especially at the end of the season.
Correct.
He got red hot in 16 and 17. It wasn't always dominant, right? And I feel like because there are some quarterbacks that have a higher chance of upside weekly, there's probably 10 or 15 of those. Kirk Cousins is not being discussed as a frequent starter in fantasy. Are you comfortable if you walk away from your draft in a 12-team league, not a 10-team league, 12-team league, 14-team league, with Kirk Cousins as your starter, were you too patient on quarterback at that point?
I think you were. And the way that it makes sense, and this is something that's been brought up on fantasy Twitter as well, so I don't want to take credit for this. But and I apologize for who first put this out there, but I think this is, look at what the Vikings are doing early schedule wise. So they start at Cincinnati, at Arizona,
like those
doesn't scare you.
Yep.
Arizona, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah. Yep.
Right, but Arizona's also good offense versus Seattle in week three. Also middle of the pack, but
whatever. Last year didn't scare you at all.
No, didn't scare you at all. Home versus Cleveland. Okay, that's a tough one. Then week five versus Detroit, week six at Carolina. They have a bye in week seven.
I know where you're going with
home
this.
To Dallas. It isn't until week nine at Baltimore that you really start to get scared of their schedule. Again, I think Cleveland's defense is going to be pretty good. And like I said, Arizona and Seattle are middle of the pack, but positives are both have really good offenses. So the point is that we think the Vikings are either going to have really good schedule, either a really good defense to play against, or they're going to have to keep up because the offense they're playing against is going to score a lot of points. And so if you draft a Justin Fields, a Trey Lance, and you're waiting for that player to become a starter, Kirk Cousins makes kind of a nice stopgap that you can pair with him, and obviously you can get him very late.
Yeah, you certainly can. And Kyle notes that last year, in only half of his games, was Kirk Cousins a top 12 quarterback. So a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde season from Kirk Cousins last year. That's kind of expected, right? That's why he's ranked quarterback 18 through 22 on the ESPN ranks. Stefani, I know, wants to jump in here on Kirk Cousins and the Vikings at large.
Well, the reason being that I'm getting asked this a lot on social media. People are talking about, are you altering any of your strategy for fantasy football based on the COVID-19 situation with various players? Now, we know that the league has, as of the other day, 92% rate of vaccination amongst all players, but there are clearly some players who've chosen not to get the vaccine, and they haven't all been identified, but some have essentially self-identified because there have been instances where they've had to isolate already, and they've made their stance pretty clear, one of those players being Kirk Cousins. So I thought this was a good time to just remind people of what some of the differences are. The protocols are different in a number of ways for fully vaccinated versus not vaccinated individuals in terms of restrictions around travel, et cetera. But I think what's important to note is if there is a high-risk close contact, which has a long definition, but it has to do with proximity to someone who is COVID-19 positive, in the case of a fully vaccinated player, they are not required to isolate, even though they would undergo testing to ensure that they have not also tested positive. But for an unvaccinated individual who has a high-risk close contact, they're required to be away from the facility, the club, the team, for 5 days. And they undergo serial testing. And if that testing continues to be negative, after the fifth day, they can return. But that is the reason that during training camp, you saw the Minnesota Vikings without virtually their entire quarterback room, because one of those individuals tested positive, the others were deemed high-risk close contact and had to stay away for 5 days. So understand that we will not know necessarily everyone who is or is not vaccinated, but for people who we know have opted not to be vaccinated, at least up until now, that is the risk should they be a high-risk close contact or ultimately contract COVID-19.
I think it's hard sometimes to talk about this without sounding glib or crass about it.
Sure.
And I don't mean to say that Kirk Cousins' health is any more or less significant than somebody like a Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Tom Brady, who would be talked about as a weekly starter. But I think that from a strategy perspective, I don't know that this alters anything specific to Kirk Cousins for me. But speaking generally, is there a strategy alteration if you are aware of a player who has been clear about his intentions to not receive the vaccine?
I guess you can use it as a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you know, to Stefania's point, like, you know, there's in theory greater risk of that player potentially missing time or being penalized on some level. And so yes, I guess I would use it maybe as a tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. I think it sort of depends on the player,
right?
It depends on the player. But the truth is that it's just a guess. Like, I mean, we're none of us know what, you know, I mean, there's so much that's unknown just in the general world about COVID, about the Delta variant, about the vaccines. And I'm not doubting the science. I'm not, by the way, I've been vaccinated. I want to be clear about that. Like, you know, so I don't want anyone to think that I'm like trying to knock the science or anything like that. But I'm just saying, like, it's an evolving story. It is an evolving story. And so to base your fantasy football drafting off of something you may sort of think is tough, because there's just so much unknown about this story. I guess to answer that question directly, I might use it as a tiebreaker if a player has been very public about their intentions to not get the vaccine because potentially they're at higher risk. But it's a violent sport, and every player is at risk every single play.
Field, can I ask a question real quick? And is it fair to say if it wasn't quarterback 18 and he was quarterback 3, it would be a bigger conversation? But because Kirk Cousins is so far down the list.
Like, you know, if it's Mahomes or Allen, then I think people are probably thinking about it much more prominently because you know, you don't want to wake up on Saturday or Sunday morning, Stefania, and find out that your quarterback is dealing with something.
So just to give you sort of another example that we had that we dealt with during training camp this year, and that was Lamar Jackson, who tested positive for COVID-19 for the second time. And when John Harbaugh talked about him returning to the team, he said, you know, he experienced symptoms, real symptoms. And in in the case of a player who had contracted COVID-19, he was now away from his club for an extended period of time. Now, it was not during the season, but it was during valuable preseason time where he was not working with any of his receivers. And of course, then they had a couple that went on to get hurt with soft tissue injuries. So I look at the Ravens offense in that situation. I go, well, they really haven't had a chance to get in sync with all of their main offense because they haven't all been together.
Let's leave it there and let's move forward from Kirk Cousins and the quarterback spot at the Vikings to Dalvin Cook.
Before we move off of Kirk Cousins, I just want to talk about the offense in general and ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you think the Vikings defense is like this year? Because I
improved, yeah.
Yeah, because I would say just in general that I think a lot of the fact that Kirk Cousins finished as QB 11 and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen had the kind of seasons they did. Again, not taking away their talent, but I think that in Mike Zimmer's ideal world, they are not throwing nearly as much as they are. They aren't as many shootouts as they are. They aren't down as much as they were for much of last year.
I'm glad
it's a
you
much
asked
more
this.
Conservative ball control offense. And so, do we think Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson are super talented? Of course we do. Yeah. Dalvin Cook's is my number two running back no matter what. But I do think that if the defense is a normal Mike Zimmer defense and not what they had last year, I do think it changes the fantasy outlook of Jefferson and Thielen.
I'm glad you asked it because I went back and looked.
Okay.
And Kirk Cousins has been with the Vikings for three seasons.
Yes, sir.
And his numbers have been relatively close year over year. The passing offense has been relatively efficient year over year. He's always a very accurate quarterback, whether that's because of the throws that he is making or his natural accuracy. But this offense has been kind of comparable for three straight seasons, even though the defense last year cratered relative to where it was in previous seasons. So it's not as much concerning to me, especially for those two wide receivers where I'm going to fall back on the talent, right? Thielen, one of the great touchdown makers in the NFL, and Justin Jefferson, I think we all believe, a true superstar. So let's talk about Dalvin Cook.
Thirsty Kyle, that's something to look up. Do me a favor. I'm going to ask Thirsty Kyle to look this up. Just how many games in which the Vikings were trailing last year, you know, and it's, you know, by more than 7 points. How many games, like last year, and where that ranked? Where that ranked among the
league? But I would have thought that the numbers would have been much better than where they were in previous years. And I was surprised that Kirk Cousins' passing yardage was not, I think it was right below or right above in 2018.
But
I would have thought 500 yards difference, 6 or 7 extra touchdowns. I was surprised by it.
But
anyways,
there was also a season in there where Dalvin Cook missed some time, right? I mean, so they probably had to throw more. And I also think, Stephon Diggs, and we now certainly know what kind of talent Stephon Diggs is. Stephon Diggs has top three fantasy wide receiver in the NFL ability. Stephon Diggs never had the kind of season Justin Jefferson did last year with the Vikings. I'm just saying, I do think that if it is, if it's a better defense, I think you can lower the expectations of the Vikings offense slightly.
Okay, Kyle has it real quick, and then we'll wrap this up move to Dalvin Cook. Kyle, what's the answer about Matthew's 7-point deficit question?
The Vikings ranked 13th in number of offensive snaps when trailing by at least 7 points last season.
So that's kind of like that's, I think
it's above average,
but
more middle of the pack. All right, so that.
Yeah, I had the same instinct. So I think it might be more stabilized than we maybe our mind logically would lead us to think. All right, we're going to come back and talk about Dalvin Cook, a star in his own right in just a minute. But first, do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Sure you do, Daniel. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
Get used to bundles, Field.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Nothing cuter than a little baby bundled up.
So cute.
That's
man.
True.
I can't wait. I'm going to have a baby Bjorn.
Yeah.
Fantasy Focus Football is also brought to you by Gum Out. Today we're talking about performance enhancement. Everyone wants it, and some, let's face it, are always looking for shortcuts.
Why do you always look at me at that point?
Because you are always looking for shortcuts, Matthew Berry. You can actually get enhanced performance, get this, in just 2 minutes. Twice a year. How does that sound, Matthew?
I like the sound of that. Hey,
with Gum Out with Carbon Clear is performance enhancement for your car. Just like Matthew Berry, Carbon Clear is potent.
I was unclear there for a second.
It's the most advanced fuel additive on the market. In fact, cars on Gum Out get better engine performance, increased fuel efficiency, and something Matthew could have, lower emissions. It only takes 2 minutes to pour gum out into a gas tank, so it's quick and easy to use. With all the things you deal with to get your car running smoothly, it's nice to know that gum out takes no time at all. Probably takes much longer to decide who to put in your lineup each week. And it's also not hard to find. You can get it at any mass retailer or your local auto parts store. So what are you waiting for? Get your car running right with gum out. Now with Carbon Clear. Performance enhancement for your car.
And with that, we turn to Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin Cook is a player who's just remarkable last season. I think there's a case, Matthew, a case, that last year he may have been sort of the safest bet week to week, or maybe he is the safest bet week to week going forward. And here's the reason why I'm going to explain. Let me explain this a little bit further.
Please do.
Is that when you're looking for a safe floor in fantasy, you certainly want amazing rushing ability. He has that. As does somebody like Derrick Henry, right? But you also want somebody who has passing game usage. Maybe he's actually just second in terms of safety. And if you look at Dalvin Cook's game log last year,
yeah,
like the passing volume was just consistent, right? It was, there was no spike where he has like a 13 reception game that makes his end of season numbers look better than they were. It was like consistently, you know, frequently between like 4 and 6 catches, like 40 to 50 yards. I think he finished the year last year. 40, I think it was 44 catches maybe last year for Dalvin Cook. Just solid, dependable, 5 to 7 points added per week as a receiver. That's the kind of value I think you're looking for. So other than Christian McCaffrey, who we know has a 1,000-yard rushing plus 1,000-yard receiving upside every single week, Dalvin Cook checks all the boxes.
1,000-yard rushing and receiving every single week?
Every single season. I don't mean week because I'm a dummy.
34,000 total yards from scrimmage at the end of the year.
And I gave, we're splitting hairs, right? So like Derrick Henry doesn't have as much receiving upside and Alvin Kamara is just not used as frequently as a runner, right? Mm-hmm. So Dalvin Cook kind of just
I have Dalvin Cook at number two, and I think he's a pretty clear number two. We did a draft last night and Mina Kimes took Alvin Kamara at two, which I was a little surprised about, given that I think Dalvin Cook is sort of two. She really likes Kamara. Stefania, you know, managed to get, Stefania went Derrick Henry at three.
Yeah.
So there's certainly, look, I don't think you can go wrong with any of those running backs, plus Ezekiel Elliott or Dalvin Cook. All of a sudden, I got something in my throat. That's why you're hearing me.
Is that what it is?
Is it love?
It must be love.
Thinking about Baby Yates.
It's just getting choked up.
Several times, too.
Verklempt.
It's going to happen every few days.
Every once in a while, you just get those emotions come over you, man.
Can I go get water?
Sure, yeah, you can go get water.
I'll take it from here, buddy. Get some water.
All right, Daniel.
Okay, get your throat cleared. I'll talk about Dalvin Cook here for a second. But again,
I should redo that for the video team.
No, it's okay. I'll handle it.
So, all right.
Dalvin Cook, though, top two in touches last year, top two in scrimmage yards, top two in total touchdowns scored last year. As I mentioned, I was actually correct. 44 catches last season. Consistent, solid, steady. He's a star. The Vikings have a lot invested in him. And despite the fact that we know Minnesota has a capable back behind him, and Alexander Mattison. It's the Dalvin Cook show, unless Dalvin Cook is not on the field. He is the workhorse.
Third in both red zone carries and goal-to-go carries. That's what's exciting, is not only is he the guy that gets you between the 20s, but when they get in close, they also give it to Dalvin Cook. They like to run. Mike Zimmer likes to run when you get in close. And I actually think, you mentioned Alexander Mattison. I think Alexander Mattison is a point in favor of Dalvin Cook, and I'll tell you why. Look, football is a violent sport. Knowing the fact that you can draft insurance for Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison, I think is helpful, because there are some players that are going, and you're just sort of like, well, who's that? Like, Derrick Henry's backup.
Do we
think it's
Evans?
Yeah, do we think it's Evans? Maybe. Like, we think it's going to be him, but we haven't really seen it, right? Like, there are some elite running backs where you're just sort of like, you know that Ezekiel Elliott's backup is Tony Pollard. Great. I do think having a clear guy to draft actually helps, because you've got that position. To me, Dalvin Cook is the clear number two overall and number two running back in fantasy this year.
With you right there, Dalvin Cook also feels like a guy that embraces the fantasy goodness as well. He is cooking, was cooking all last year. We expect him to cook again this upcoming year. It's time now for a blind resume. We've got a blind resume, which is brought to you by Hotwire. Book an expensive hotel for cheap on Hotwire. Download the Hotwire app to book beyond your wildest means. All bookings are final. So I'm going to have you try to fill in the blanks. Since 2018, here's a look at the most touchdown receptions per game. First player we'll give you The answer, Devontae Adams. Players A, B, and C. Point, he has, and by the way, Devontae Adams since 2018 has averaged 0.88 receiving touchdowns per game. Player That's A, 0.79. Unreal. Player B is 0.71. Player C is 0.64.
Can I will guess? Bet you anything, one of these is Adam Thielen.
Okay, Adam Thielen I agree with as well. I will go with Tyreek Hill as one of them. And then I will go with, you got any third guesses here?
Big touchdown maker since 2018.
I was going to say, it could be
Mike Evans.
I was going to say Mike Evans, maybe?
Yeah, good guess on Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Let's do a reveal here and see what happens.
Let's go!
Never happened!
All right! Look what happens when you don't give Stefania any guesses and we get them all.
Yes, exactly!
Well, I don't know because I don't have a monitor, so I have no proof that you actually got it right. Right. Wow.
Tyreek Hill, Adam Thielen, and Mike Evans that is in amazing. Order were the answers to our blind resume.
I bet you
really
peaked.
Good right there. So well done. Thanks to our friends at Hotwire for making blind resume happen. But before we talk about Adam Thielen, we're going to talk about his teammate, the young king, Justin Jefferson, who last year was wide receiver 9 on a points-per-game basis with a relatively slow start to the season because, well, he's a rookie, and it takes some time to get going in the NFL. But once he did, he never looked back. 89 catches, 1,259 receiving yards, and 8 receiving touchdowns. And if you look at the second half of last year, Matthew, the dude was vacuuming every target available. 7 games with 10-plus targets, and I know that we worked through whether or not the Vikings were playing behind more frequently than you expect them to this upcoming season, but I just there's nothing about me that can like bring my mind to downgrade at Justin Jefferson, because even if there are some circumstantial things that lead them to run the football more, there's also an excellent chance that Justin Jefferson's an even better overall player this year. He's a talent play.
We all have him as basically a wide receiver one. I'm at wide receiver 11, so I'm slightly lower just because, again, I'm a little nervous about the defense. But look, I mean, the guy had a 26% target share.
Yeah, ridiculous.
26% right? target share, fourth highest among wide receivers. And you sort of look at Minnesota and you're like, well, you've got Adam Thielen, you've got Irv Smith, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But they didn't bring in any other competition for targets this year. And we always talk about the idea that player makes his biggest jump from year one to year two. Just imagine what year two of Justin Jefferson could be like.
7 games with 100 receiving yards last year. He was just absurd. And he, of course, was our 06-010 award winner of the Rookie of the Year, drafted as wide receiver 53 last year.
Oh, my gosh.
Last thing I want to say,
one other thing that's worth noting about Justin Jefferson, obviously, is that like 26% target share with Adam Thielen there. Adam Thielen has had injury issues in his past. He's 31 years old. This year, like if Adam Thielen were to miss any time this year, like, I don't know, 35% target share, 40% target share, like what's the NFL record?
He would be he would be Keenan Allen like, I would think, yeah, in that
Devontae
Minnesota
Adams
offense.
Like, yeah.
Last thought here, and this is just for fun. I'm going to go all the way around the room because everybody wants to know who's going to be this year's Justin Jefferson, a player who, as a rookie, exceeded expectations in a major way. And it's unfair to expect that every year there's going to be a Justin Jefferson. He was wide receiver 53 and finishes wide receiver 9. But if you had to state your case for one rookie wide receiver that you think is just going to be a baller this year, I'll start. And I guess this is kind of cheating because you could pick the same person as me if you want. I'm going Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
Daniel, who are you taking? I think I can see Matthew still thinking about his choice.
I mean, this is kind of like the Kalen Ballage argument, but I'm going to say Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's just going undrafted, and someone in that offense is going to have to catch passes. I realize that's a homer thing for us to talk about with the Lions, but I mean, I think the kid's going to be a flex play, a low-end flex play, you know, sure, on a number of weeks towards the end of the season.
Stefania?
I don't know that it's going to be all season, but I think by the second half he gets there, Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm.
Interesting.
Ja'Marr Chase, okay.
So Chase. I like Jalen Waddle. I'm in an expert league draft. I just drafted Jalen Waddle in the last round. But
are you sure?
They
let you in that?
No, he's a guest. It's like a member guest at a golf tournament.
Are you drafting
like,
for somebody? Is
every
that what it
expert
is?
Expert gets to bring okay.
for Stephen A.
Yes. Right. Okay. right.
But I'm going to say Devonta Smith.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
like, and Mike Clay's brought this point up as well before. Is it like
clear
again,
pathway?
Clear path to massive target share.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, you know about the talent. Obviously, he's the Heisman Trophy winner from last year. And then his competition for targets are tight ends, Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz at the moment, who obviously have limited, route tree, and Jalen Reagor, who their rookie from last year has yet to really prove himself in the
Better
NFL.
Better camp this year, though, it yeah. sounds
Better
like.
Better camp this year. Jalen Look, Reagor. Talent, there was a reason he was a first-round pick last year, injured for a lot of last year. But anyway, there's a path to a massive target share for Smith. just like there was for Jefferson last year.
Two more Vikings to discuss. One of them is the aforementioned Adam Thielen, who Matthew noted is going to be 31 this season. Specifically, he turns 31 on Sunday. So happy early birthday to Adam Thielen, who last year had, I think, 925 total receiving yards, but he had 14 receiving touchdowns. Look at that, 74 for 925 and 14 receiving touchdowns. It was consistent. The dude is just outstanding in the red zone, Matthew. He had 20 end zone targets last year. I don't know, like, we're at the point now where eventually we'll have to have the conversation of, will Adam Thielen physically not be the same player that he was when he was 26 or 27? I don't think we're there yet. I'm comfortable with Adam Thielen right where he is, which is wide receiver 17 for you and I,
right.
Wide receiver 21 for Daniel. Number two option in this offense. He's a strong wide receiver two option.
He is a strong wide receiver two. And last year he was a number one. It'll be interesting to see that, like, now that Justin Jefferson has had the kind of year he has, be interesting to see, like, does Thielen have an even better year? Because defenses last year were focused on Thielen. They didn't know what they had in Justin Jefferson. This year, whoever the best corner is on a defense is taking Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
On teams where the corner travels with a wide receiver. So anyway, we all like Adam Thielen. We think he's really solid. Again, narrow target tree for the Vikings. It's Jefferson, it's Thielen, it's Irv Smith. They don't really have a lot of other people to pass to, other than obviously Dalvin Cook out of the backfield.
And that brings me right to Irv Smith, who I've talked about with describing Jonnu Smith as a guy this year, a favorite this
year,
that, hey, you know, part of the reason why is just, like, athletically he's different than most tight ends. Irv Smith's not on that level, but Irv Smith is a really, really good athlete. That's part of the reason why we're optimistic about him making a leap this year in his third season. You've got him at tight end 12. Daniel and I are just a couple slots behind you at tight end 14, and it feels like his ADP is pretty favorable. If you're getting a player in the 14th round, who we think could make a leap this year, Matthew, he could prove to be a value. He's a very, very good athlete, nifty route runner, and they have Tyler Conklin behind him, but it should be Irv Smith as the go-to tight end this season.
Yeah, they'll run some two tight end sets, and I know people are worried about Tyler Conklin. I actually am not. I know Conklin plays a lot of snaps, but in the four games that Kyle Rudolph missed last year, Irv Smith was the fourth best tight end in fantasy. He basically had two good games and two bad games, and he had three touchdowns in those four games, which obviously helped his fantasy value quite a bit. I'm not saying he's a top five fantasy tight end, but what I will say is that Kirk Cousins likes throwing to the tight end in the red zone. You saw it for all the years in Washington that he had with Jordan Reed. Irv Smith is a similar type player, I believe, to Jordan Reed in terms of the kinds of routes he can run. And I know they're excited about Irv Smith in Minnesota. He's on my love list this year. He's somebody that I think has a breakout. I'm at tight end 12, higher than the consensus.
It's almost time to talk about the Detroit Lions, but we are not quite there yet. I have a question for you, Mr.
Yes,
5K.
Sir. What do you got?
You want to get in shape, but you're having trouble staying motivated? I have an idea.
Have you taken a look at me?
Make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit.
Okay.
We all know you sometimes do not want to go to the gym. Stick a 5-hour energy shot
all times
to give you the feeling and alertness so you can get to the gym. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-hour energy shot has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There's a flavor for everyone. Try them all. And on the site, you even have the option to build your own. You can do a 12-pack or a 24-pack. You choose the flavors. It's delivered right to your door if you go to 5hourenergy.com. And that's the number 5hourenergy.com. And get some 5-Hour Energy product. You can do so today using our promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today. And I got to tell you, I know it's important for us to support the sponsors that help make this show what it is and allow us to continue to do the show for free 5 days a week for 23 weeks.
There's no question about that. I'll tell you when you're going to need some of that 5-hour energy.
Soon, 5 months from now.
Exactly right.
I'm going to start training my body right now.
Like, my daughters, when they were born, one of them did not sleep for a year and a half.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Oh, it was so annoying because I would be in bed sleeping all comfy, and then the baby would cry, and Beth would get out of bed, and, like, she would let some of the cold air in.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I mean? I'd be a little uncomfortable.
I knew that's where this was going.
Like, I'm like, hey, can you, like, get out of bed carefully? Like, because you're letting some cold air in. What are you doing? And it would take me a moment or two to get back to bed.
Yeah.
And so just, It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough on me.
Hard knock
life. And then
life.
She'd get back in bed and like, you know, and then like rustle the covers a little bit or, you know, like it, sometimes the bed would creak or something like that.
Was that before or after she punched you? That was...
Please. She didn't punch me at all.
Beth
she didn't
is punch a me at saint. All cause and this only goes to prove
she
it.
She didn't punch me at all because you know what? She knew what she was getting into.
That's right.
She'll do stuff like, I'll just very quickly, Beth will do stuff like, well, she'll be like, she like, you know, Todd helps around the house. Like, we'll be out with another couple. And she's like, look at Todd helping around the house. And I'm like, what do you want from me? You should have married Todd. Come on.
She was like, trust me, I know. I know.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Like, you knew what you were getting into.
Let's see if Todd wants to move in.
Exactly. All right.
We got one more live read from our friends over at Hotwire. But first, I need you guys to look underneath your seats for a surprise for the second half of the show. Mm. Imagine a nice vacation. Is there a view of the parking lot there? No. So don't book a cheap hotel. Book an expensive hotel for cheap. All right. With hot rate deals, you can stay in a nicer hotel than you ever thought possible. Just select your city, your neighborhood, and the amenities that you're looking for. Then you get your hot rate. Better views, king size beds, and freshly pressed waffle roving robes await you. And also actual waffles for the record. So download the Hotwire app now and book beyond your wildest means. All bookings final.
You are a legend, Daniel.
Here's the deal. I brought in. It is now time for the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast to talk about the Detroit Lions on Double Trouble. Everybody here in studio has a Lions jersey on. Real quick, going to go through this. I gave Matthew Stafford because a couple synonyms that go in that work in both ways. Iron Man.
Right.
Always there.
Yeah.
Ton of effort.
Except for this year.
Never complains. A lot of things that Matthew Stafford, and he's carried the team for 10 plus years without hardly any help, Matthew, which is basically you as well. Well, no offense to Calvin Johnson.
Wait, hold on. Do you have that backwards?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is backwards.
Matthew
I think that
has
is
carried
backwards.
The team for 10 years? You Matthew
got,
Berry?
And plus it's Matthew and Matthew. You got Darius Slay right. Field, obviously no
Slay,
longer
my
on
guy,
the Lions.
Big play but. Slay, who rocks the number 2 now, looks amazing with the Eagles. Shout out to you. He's a good dude. And a great player, great dude, and a great player
great
as
player.
Well.
I got Stefania, Jared Davis, sorry, Stefania. And I am wearing Barry Sanders. I got this jersey when I was 11 years old for my mom and dad for Christmas, and I still sort of fit into it.
Yeah, that is amazing. I love Barry.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. Most of these guys don't play for the Lions anymore.
Stefania!
Literally none of them do. Well, Jared listen, Davis now
Matthew.
With,
yeah.
Matthew.
And Barry.
And Barry.
There
Matthew
you
Barry.
Go. I could have, yeah, you and I yeah. together once again. There you go. Magic.
Matthew
Magic.
And Barry.
One pride, baby.
One pride. Yeah,
one really pride.
It's really sad, Daniel. You don't have any, you know.
I love that Daniel did this, by the way.
I know.
You have
I know.
All these available.
I got to get some new Lions jerseys, guys.
I know.
What player would you get if you get a
Hockenson.
Jersey?
I would put my hair down and I'd wear a Hockenson jersey every day of the
and
week.
And people would be like, oh my God, it's TJ Hockenson.
Yep. They literally.
Do you think they go up to him and say, are you Daniel Dopp?
Probably. They probably are like, you look a little small, but are you Daniel?
I will never forget this. Quick story. I went to the draft in Nashville the year that TJ Hockenson was taken in the first round, eighth overall, 2018. I'm part of the digital show for the draft every year at ESPN, and in some years we've gone to the draft until the past couple with COVID. But that year, my best friend was getting married in Detroit on Saturday of the draft.
I remember this.
So on Friday morning, I board a flight from Nashville to Detroit with TJ Hockenson, who was like the most unassuming superstar athlete you'll ever see, right? Like, he's huge, obviously. He's 6'6". But, like, he looked like he'd been wearing the same suit since junior year of high school, right? Like, his hair now compared to where he was back in the day, completely different. One of the great about faces that we have seen, or not about face, but one of the great come ups we have seen in quite some time. We got off the plane in Detroit, and it was like, no one was like, dude, like, who is that guy that, like, just got drafted? No, like, did not, he was. He just was the average man born in a plane.
I love it.
Life has changed dramatically for TJ Hockenson, who looks now like Daniel Dopp's doppelganger.
So, quick story, one question and then a quick story off of that.
Yeah.
My question is, you mean the wedding of your second best friend, right?
Second best friend, right. I have best friends for different sectors of my life. Daniel is my overall best friend.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Well, and you will be invited to my wedding when it happens sometime in the near future, but not yet. Yeah.
Oh. Okay, good.
Oh.
I assume I'm marrying you. I assume I'm...
yeah, Rosie and I have talked about it. You're either marrying us or you're going to be the flower girl, and either one, you're going to be cute. It's going to be adorable, and it'll be amazing.
You know what? I'm down for either.
Yeah.
I'm down for either.
Yeah.
I'll do either. That'd be amazing. All right, so, you know, last 2 years I haven't been able to go because of COVID, but I usually get invited to the NFLPA rookie premiere.
Right.
And I get to interview all these rookies. And so I interviewed TJ Hockenson, he was there with his parents. And it was just like, oh, hey, come, mom and dad. Like,
they were on the flight, too.
That's amazing.
It was the sweetest thing in the world. Like, he brought them with him, and he was so excited. You know what I mean? Like, dude, you're a top 10 draft pick. You know? he couldn't. I had the exact same experience. Completely unassuming. Like, the sweetest, nicest guy. We had a great interview as well. And we had him do some. I told him, I said, hey, my co-host on the fantasy show on ESPN+, huge Lions fan, and he did some bits specifically for us, for Daniel,
that
we had
fun
with on the show. So,
by the way, he's still a great guy. He just looks a lot different.
Yeah, yeah. We're all big Hockenson fans here at the 06010.
We've only got 15 minutes left, though. So
that's about how long you need for the Lions. I'm not trying to make a joke.
I would actually
say, as much time as
do you want to start with Goff, or should we just go to Hockenson since we're talking about him? Can we talk about Hockenson?
Let's talk about him right now. Yeah,
let's talk about him right now. Because I think he has a chance. I mean, I think it's no surprise here. He is probably the most or second most interesting player for fantasy on the Lions this year. He ranks tight end 4 for Matthew, tight end 5 for Daniel, tight end 6 for me. Last year, he was tight end 6 with 11.0 points per game. There have been a variety of reports from those who are on the ground in Detroit every day that suggest he's been the best player in the Lions training camp this year. No surprise, he's electric. The idea when they drafted him 8th overall was for him to become the next in that line of dynamic game-changing tight ends. Hasn't quite happened at the level of production of a Kelce or a Kittle or a Waller, Matthew, but could he be the next man to enter that tier?
I believe so. I mean, I drafted him before. I drafted him on the draft show last night. I believe there's a chance that this year he enters the Kittle-Waller tier of tight ends. He's slightly below them for me right now, but he's a firm number 4 for me. Last year, top 5 among tight ends in targets, receptions, and yards. And you just sort of think about how the Lions season's going to go this year. A lot of unknowns in the passing game, and we'll talk about them coming up in a second, but I think it is highly likely that that passing game goes through TJ Hockenson. I think there is a very good chance that he leads that team in yards and fantasy points and targets. My daughter's calling me on FaceTime right now.
Very normal.
Very normal. Like mother, like daughter. And so getting a tight end where the passing game goes through that player, I think is a great thing. So we don't expect Detroit to be particularly good this year. We think they're going to be throwing quite a bit. Give me some TJ Hockenson as tight end 4.
Yeah, currently being drafted in the 7th round, which is interestingly because he's in the range of like Myles Gaskin and Brandon Ayuk, but he's sort of in a tier on his own in between Kyle Pitts and then the next wave of tight ends. You've got kind of this. There's a smorgasbord of tight ends coming after him.
He goes
as well.
In the Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews area.
Yeah.
You know, and like
a little later than Andrews this year, at least on ADP.
Yeah. And yeah. I would rather have Hockenson. Like, I think Andrews is great, but I would rather have Hockenson than Andrews or Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. Right ahead of Logan Thomas as well, by the way.
And you put him ahead of your Logan Thomas, Matthew.
I put him ahead of my Logan Thomas.
I appreciate that.
Let's go back.
What do you think?
On TJ Hockenson?
Yeah. Versus Andrews, Mark Andrews.
I've got Andrews a little bit ahead of him only because the touchdown upside is significant. And with Mark Andrews, we have seen that year over year with him. I'm a little bit more concerned. Sorry, Daniel. We'll talk about it in greater depth right now. But the Lions actually finishing off drives. They may do some damage on occasional drives between the 20s. But this is a rebuilding year for Detroit. This is a year where it is not going to be quantified just by wins and losses. It'll be about how many players they can find that fit the program long term and sort of building the culture under this new leadership the way that they want it.
How many kneecaps they can eat.
No.
But I'm going to say this, Field Yates. I say TJ Hockenson finishes the year with more fantasy points than Mark Andrews.
I say Mark Andrews finishes the year with more fantasy points than TJ Hockenson.
Put it on the board!
Put it on the board!
Thank you, Daniel. Well done by you. Let's go back to Jared Goff here for a second, Matthew. Yeah. We can be quick. He is not ranked by anybody this year in fantasy. Nope. It just feels like between the lack of rushing upside, the lack of passing game weapons that are established around him, the offensive line should be pretty good, but I don't think this is a year where Jared Goff is going to be cracking fantasy lineups routinely.
I agree.
There we go. We can leave it right there. Let's get to DeAndre Swift, though, because this one I think is an interesting player in fantasy, Matthew.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why. On ability, he's there. He's right there, right?
Sure.
In terms of opportunity, he should be right there as well. They did sign Jamal Williams. We'll talk about him in a moment. But it seems clear that DeAndre Swift is going to be the guy up front in this backfield. Talented guy, young player, all those things. Good offensive line. The scare,
should
I think,
should be a run-heavy scheme as well. Again, Anthony Lynn is the new offensive coordinator, yeah. Former head coach of the Chargers, former NFL running back, and somebody that has, at least in stops in Buffalo and with the Chargers as a play caller or a head coach,
yep.
has liked to use multiple running backs but also run the ball a lot.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
And obviously yep. had a ton of success with Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler with the Chargers.
So I think the concern people have is just like, if this team isn't going to be very good, does that limit the upside of DeAndre Swift, and how much so? If they're forced into passing game situations, are we going to have an offense that might be 60-40 DeAndre Swift versus Jamal Williams? Is that fair criticism or fair concern?
I think it's fair concern, but it's not one that I buy because DeAndre Swift is a good pass catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I think Swift and Williams, you'll see both guys. I don't think it's going to be one of those things where Swift is always the first and second down back and Williams is always the third down back. I think both guys are versatile. I think you could possibly see both guys in the backfield at one point as well. So, you know, DeAndre Swift had 66 catches last year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, his projections are 66 catches right. this year, I should say. He didn't have – I was like –
He did not last year. No, yeah, he was okay as a pass catcher.
Yes. And so, I don't know. So, I'm more a believer in the talent and the opportunity.
Really good talent.
Than I am the concern about it's just not going to be a good team.
Yeah. Really, really talented guy. And if he had gone in the first round last year, no one would have batted an eyelash. And he could be – if he was in a different spot – right now, we might be talking about him in a much, much different vein.
We talked about this when he got drafted. Had he been drafted by the Chiefs instead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we'd have been talking about him as a top 10 player last year.
Right.
Like, we would have, like, because he's that kind of talented.
Sure. Very, very talented guy. Let's just hope that they're competitive enough offensively they can finish off some drives. That being said.
But we all think he's a mid-tier RB2, except for Daniel has him at RB12.
I do.
Squirrel.
I do have him at RB12.
You have him as basically a borderline RB1.
I do. I have him towards the back half of the first round for me, and if you're talking about a 12-team league.
Yeah.
And I love the idea that offensive line has been beefed up quite a bit this year. Obviously, Frank Ragnow is incredible. Being able, I mean, no offense to Cincinnati and not being able to grab a tackle, but I was very glad that Penei Sewell fell to us, and I think he's going to be fantastic. If there's one thing on that offense that the Lions have the ability to work around, that offensive line is something that they can work with. And so I'm hoping from that standpoint, you'll have some good running lanes for both DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, to be honest.
And let's talk about Jamal Williams one step further, because we know this much. When he got opportunities in Green Bay, he was really good.
Yep.
But even when he didn't get opportunities to be the man, he was still good. He's a very, very talented pass catcher. And I know that sometimes we can overthink these things or put too much stock into them, but it's clear he's a spark plug for this offense right away. Like, for this team in general, right?
Yeah.
He's an emotional sort of tone setter for Detroit. I think he's going to play a lot in Detroit. He's one of my favorite values, Matthew. He's going as an RB4, which I think is a good spot for him to be in. I don't know that you could ever, like, if you go zero RB strategy, I'm not going as low as Jamal Williams as a starter, but I think he's a really useful bench piece.
I think he's a really useful bench piece. I agree as well. His ADP is running back 40, which means he's going as a running back 5.
Wow.
I'm at running back 34. I'm the highest on it. You have him at 38, so you're a few spots behind me as well, but we both have him ahead of consensus. We both really like the player. I agree with you. Like, when he has gotten an opportunity, he has produced. We talk about this, you know, the Schefter thing, follow the money. Jamal Williams got paid this offseason. Like, you know, they
2 years, $7.5 million.
Yeah, you know, in a market that was somewhat depressed for running backs,
yeah.
Jamal Williams got a nice little contract there, left Green Bay, and I think there's a negativity towards Jamal Williams just because Aaron Jones is so good. Like, it's not a crime to be not as good as Aaron Jones. Right? And yeah. and Jamal
hey,
Williams.
The Packers took Jamal Williams one round ahead of Aaron Jones
that is
back
correct.
When they drafted him out of BYU 4 years ago.
They like Jamal Williams quite a bit, I think, and we've heard Anthony Lynn and others around the Lions talk up Jamal Williams. I agree with you. I don't think he's just, quote, insurance for DeAndre Swift. I think he has a legitimate flexibility in a deeper league, and obviously if anything were to happen to Swift, he would easily be a top 12 running back. So I agree with you. I think he is one of my favorite flyers this year, you know, and a really good sleeper and somebody that made the love list. He was on the love list.
You agree, Stefania?
Yeah, I was just going to say that basically I really love Jamal Williams and I am down on DeAndre Swift for the exact same reasons. If you heard Anthony Lynn talk about Jamal Williams, he talked about how he was sending him video before they ever got to training camp of all these different things he'd been working on. And when the suggestion was made that he was going to be this backup role to DeAndre Swift, Anthony Lynn made it clear that that was not the case. They were sort of interchangeable pieces, which made me a little more concerned for DeAndre Swift's value, but made me really love Jamal Williams, where you can draft him.
Yeah, Jamal Williams, just a talented player. So a guy that I think has a chance, we all agree, has a chance to carve out a role. Sometimes we look through the lens of a 16-team league because we all play in the War Room League. He'll be useful in that War Room League.
He absolutely
will be.
That much
is for sure. We've got a few minutes left here, and the Lions have, Daniel, I'm sorry, it's just a fact. They have the most unproven wide receiver group right now in the NFL. They've got a couple of veterans in Tyrell Williams and also Breshad Perriman, two guys that have dealt with injuries in their career.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Because we're running short on time. I know who Daniel takes. Daniel would take Brown. I would take Perriman. Do you want to take Tyrell Williams and we'll just talk about each one?
Get a minute on each.
If you would pick one.
Yep, sure.
And I'll start with Breshad Perriman, a former first-round pick. He's bounced around the NFL, but we saw him have real success with Tampa Bay 2 years ago with Jameis Winston. Kind of a lost season for all of the Jets last year. But I just like his big playability. This is a guy that, you know, last year over 33% of his receptions gained 20 or more yards. He led all wide receivers who had 50 more targets. Just a big play guy who seems to have solved the drop issue and seemed to solve the injury issue. I like Perriman just as a talent.
I'll take Tyrell Williams next, the veteran, a guy who just a couple of years ago was signed to a $44 million contract by the Raiders and then immediately basically missed each of his first two seasons in Oakland and then Las Vegas because of injuries. He can run like the wind. I'm not sure that the fit with Jared Goff as a downfield thrower is like the most seamless thing going. However, he's more than just run down the field straight and catch passes. He showed that if you watch the Lions' first preseason game, he had a couple of catches. He looks like a guy that should be playing 75-80% of the snaps if he stays healthy. I just have questions about whether he will stay healthy. Daniel?
Tyrell the Gazelle.
Yeah, and that's why I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, the idea that we have these two veterans here, but you've got a rookie coming in who is hungry, and the way that he plays, I love watching him run. He is physical, even though he's a little bit smaller, and he's got quickness. In his sophomore year, 77 catches, over 1,000 yards receiving, and 6 touchdowns. This is like, in my mind, this is like the, who was the running back that you loved that I just said earlier in the show that we always give you grief on from the Miami Dolphins? Kalen Ballage. This is the Kalen Ballage argument for me, where no one's saying that you need to draft him, right? He's not draftable right now in redraft leagues. But the idea that towards the end of the season with this wide receiving core and Jared Goff with his play action ability to be able to find someone that could potentially develop that rapport with Jared Goff, I like Amon-Ra St. Brown as an end of the year. He starts to pick it up and come on. Not going to cost you anything, but not someone you're drafting now. Someone that I'm watching for later on.
A name to keep in mind.
Exactly.
Also a heck of a name. Amon-Ra St. Brown, younger brother of?
Equanimeous
St. Brown.
That's right.
Son of former Mr. Universe. This family, go, if you want to go get like lost on Wikipedia for 15 minutes, just read about this family. It's remarkable. There is just like athlete after athlete after athlete, incredible parents, an amazing story, speak multiple language. Quite a crew they have there amongst the St. Brown family. And just one more time, I mentioned this on the podcast a couple of times. I do find watching preseason broadcasts to be instructive because
sure.
Well,
you get the local teams. You get the local broadcast.
And I know that some people say they sound like home. Sometimes they do. But that's okay. That's allowed. But you also learn a lot. And Herman Moore is part of the Lions broadcast this year. The great Herman Moore, one of the excellent receivers during his generation. And you hear about him talking about how, first of all, I trust what his eyes see. He's a great wide receiver. Second of all, he's spending time around the team frequently, and he's talking about how, hey, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a player that they believe in already in Detroit. And out of part necessity and part ability, I think he's got a chance to be a close to every down or, you know, frequent slot player for the Detroit Lions. So he is my favorite of these three as a lottery ticket lead.
Fair enough. Like, again, the Justin Jefferson argument, right? I mean, he's got an opportunity for certain targets. One of these guys is going to emerge.
Yep.
One of these guys will be fantasy viable. I like Perriman just because he's been an elite fantasy wide receiver, not for a long period of time, but he has been at one point in his career. But certainly get the argument for St. Brown as well.
You good to wrap it up?
I was going to wrap it up. I was just going to say, like, listen, if you'd like to check out the newest episode of the Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry and Daniel Dopp. You can do so with a subscription to ESPN Plus. And one of the ways you get a subscription to ESPN Plus?
How?
Rotopass.com, nice. Baby. You get ESPN Plus. You get access to everyone. Your written work, Mike Clay's written work, Stefania's written work, the fantasy show with me and Daniel, Carabel, Cockcroft, everyone, Mel and Todd, anyone you could possibly want, everything that's great that comes with ESPN Plus, plus five other great sites, customized ranks, draft software, DFS lineup optimizers, so much more. Rotopass.com. Use promo code 06010. For 10% off.
All right, we're going to close the show out with some social questions brought to you by Hotwire. Download the Hotwire app to book beyond your wildest means. All bookings final. First one comes from, we have three polls from our Twitter handle. Is Chris Carson underrated? We had Jackson put this up a couple days ago. Poll came back 75% yes, underrated, 25% no. I think we've done a good job on making sure that 06010 knows where Chris Carson's supposed to be.
Yep, agreed.
Next poll was, which Tampa Bay wide receiver are you highest on? We talked about this the other day. 43% said Chris Godwin, 38% said Mike Evans, 18% said Antonio Brown. How do you guys feel about those?
Yeah. Well, I said Chris Godwin was my guy on the air the other night. Yeah,
I was Evans. She did. I'm an Evans guy, but I understand it.
I have them ranked Evans, Godwin, Brown. I like Brown the most at cost.
At cost, right.
Just because it's much cheaper to acquire.
But Evans, I like him the most. Yep.
Yep. Last one is, and this is, I was surprised by this one. If Taysom Hill is named the starter, can he be a top 10 quarterback? 71% of our listeners said no.
I think can versus will is sort of an interesting distinction here. Right? Could he be? Yeah, if everything breaks right, will he be? I won't have him ranked as a top 10. I'll have him just outside that top 10 because there are so many good quarterbacks this year.
But that ability, I think, definitely exists there.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
I'm amazed that 71% said he cannot be. Like,
he could be.
He could be.
Right.
He was the four games that he started last year.
Right, right.
So he obviously can be.
It'll
we
be
don't
tough
know if he
to
will
sustain.
Be.
Yeah, we don't
I'm
even
with
know
you.
If he'll
will
be
versus
the
can.
Starter. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, hey, we got preseason football.
Yeah, we do. A few games tonight, and we'll be back tomorrow with a couple of takeaways. Plus, we will close out Double Trouble the week of Double Trouble, with the Panthers and the Falcons. Enjoy the second preseason.
Yeah, there's a couple of animals right there.
Looking forward to that.
Panthers and Falcons. They're
animals. Mike Davis Bowl.
The Mike Davis Bowl.
Wow.
That's right.
Like it. Mike Davis Bowl
here on Double Trouble tomorrow. Looking forward to that. In the meantime, for Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel, I am Field. We will talk to you guys soon enough.
Peace out.
It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you Alliance fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel?